The House is fighting over ethics, the Senate is fighting over the president's judicial nominees, and our regular political columnists E.J. Dionne and David Brooks are here to fight about what it all means. E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, welcome back.
Thank you.
And David Brooks of The New York Times, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Let's start with this reversal on the Republican side. House Speaker Dennis Hastert now saying he will step back on changing the Senate ethics rules. Democrats said those changes were designed to protect Tom DeLay. David Brooks, what's going on here?
Shame. Republicans came to Washington to not get corrupted by it, but to reform it. And then they've slowly been corrupted by it. They have a leader, Tom DeLay, who was under some investigation in Texas, and they tried to change the rules from what they thought was an out-of-control prosecutor in Texas. The problem was they held a tumultuous meeting. It was sort of a soap opera meeting where they decided to protect the guy. And about four brave Republicans said, hey, we're not going to change the rules. We're going to try to be as honest as we said we'd be. And if you called around to Capitol Hill and talked to House Republicans after that meeting, about 90% of them wished they'd had the courage to stand up and say, we're going to keep with our own rules. But they caved to the leadership, and they felt embarrassed and ashamed of it. And so it's been a nettle under their saddle for weeks and weeks, and they're finally undoing it.
Sounds like you're saying this was a mistake in the first place.
I think they all knew it was a mistake. But listen, the leadership in the House is a powerful thing. You don't want to defer to it. And they have all sorts of meetings where Tom DeLay's running the show, and they stand up and they swear allegiance to him. But secretly, you know, some of them are nervous about him. Some of them are, most importantly, looking beyond him. They're saying, you know, we're grateful this guy has done a lot for us. But, hey, we've got another guy who's a guy named Roy Blunt, who would be a perfectly good majority leader for us. Why are we stuck with this guy when we have a perfectly good substitute? So I'd say among House Republicans, they're beginning to think beyond Tom DeLay.
EJ, are we seeing the effects here of an emboldened Democratic minority, do you think?
No, mostly I think you're seeing the effects of an overreaching Republican Party. I agree with just about everything that brave reform Republican David Brooks just said, that I think the Republicans have been in power now for 10 years. They won President Bush won re-election, and I think they had a sense that they could do anything they wanted, get away with anything they wanted, and I think DeLay is sort of the leading indicator of that. And a lot of Republicans, including a lot of staff people I've talked to, are very uncomfortable with these free golf trips and the like, some of them saying, you know, we could never get a trip like that. What kind of thing is this? But also they're worried because this is spilling over into politics. I think the Terry Schiavo case caused problems with them. DeLay made the choice of being out in front of that, and that turned out to be unpopular. The fight over judges turns out not to be as big a winner as the Republicans thought. And so I think there's this general sense of overreaching to the right by the Republicans that is turning off a lot of middle-of-the-road voters who are essentially, if the Republicans are to preserve their majorities.
Let's turn to that fight over judicial nominees in the Senate. The question here of whether the Republican leadership might change the rules to prevent Democrats from filibustering nominees that they don't like, the so-called nuclear option. Let's listen to some of the debate from the Senate floor this morning. First, we'll hear Democrat Patty Murray of Washington.
The nuclear option is an assault on the American people and many of the things that we all hold dear. It is an attempt to impose on the country through lifetime appointments the extreme values held by a few at the cost of the many.
That's Democrat Patty Murray, and now we'll hear Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas.
If it is the will of the minority to continue to thwart the 200 years of tradition and the Constitution of the United States, it is my hope that we will change the rules of the Senate to make it clear that we are going to adhere to the Constitution.
E.J. Dionne, Republicans are saying Democrats aren't just thwarting tradition here, they're being obstructionist, ignoring the will of the majority. Do you think that's a problem for the Democrats?
Well, see, I don't think the obstructionist charge is hurting them very much, because I think a lot of Americans don't like the idea, as one Democrat put it to me, of the judiciary becoming like crossfire. Democrats aren't blocking all judges. They're blocking a small number of the total that President Bush has appointed, and no more judges than the Republicans blocked when President Clinton was president. So I don't think they're suffering greatly from this. And I think there is an uneasiness on the part of a lot of conservatives with ending the filibuster, because the filibuster, after all, guarantees the rights of minorities. Republicans were accustomed fairly recently to being in the minority. And perhaps this is an odd view. I actually like the idea of 60 votes being required to confirm a judge, because I think 60 votes means that somebody has to be broadly acceptable. You can't get either an extreme liberal or lefty, and you can't get an extreme conservative. So I think even on the principle, if you cast it that way, I think a lot of Americans would say, yeah, these are lifetime appointees. They probably should face an added burden.
David Brooks, do they need that added burden, or do the Republicans have a point that they deserve a fair up or down vote?
Well, I think they have a point. They deserve a fair up or down vote. Judges deserve a vote. Listen, we've had a whole cycle of escalation of each party behaving badly. The Republicans behaved badly under Clinton. I'd say the Democrats have been behaved marginally more badly under Bush, and now the Republicans promise to behave even more badly by essentially, to me, gutting the Senate. Removing the filibuster, if you did it on judges, believe me, the next time there was any subject that Republicans or any majority cared passionately about, they'd get rid of the filibuster on everything. And so what you would have is a Senate that is essentially like the House with a slim majority rule. And I happen to love the Senate as an institution because it really does moderate American politics. It really does allow minorities to block things, which usually is good for small government types, mostly good for conservatives. So I think it's a mistake, but politically, it would be a catastrophe, I think, for both sides.
I think one of the reasons the Republicans are in trouble generally, why the president's been falling in the polls and the Republicans standing in the polls, the standing of Republicans in Congress has fallen, is because a lot of Americans are looking at this and saying, well, gee, you know, we're really worried about the state of the economy. The stock market's going down. The dollar is in trouble. Oh, we're worried about our jobs. Hey, there are these problems with health care. And they look at Washington and say, why is the focus on this particular set of things? Why the obsession with the rules about judges or the Terry Schiavo case? And then they look at the delay thing and say, what is happening there in Washington? It's not that the Democrats are gaining a lot of ground yet. They have profited from the decline of the Republicans in this period.
How much do you figure this fight is over these particular seven nominees, and how much is it really a fight over a potential Supreme Court vacancy that might come up in this term? David Brooks?
I'd say it's 100% over the Supreme Court vacancy. You know, there have been some moves from the Democrats to allow some of the nominees and not the others. And if this were about these nominees, who I suspect most Americans could not name, then you could reach a deal. You know, the Republicans could take six and the Democrats could take the rest or whatever. But this is not about that. This is about making sure that when there's a Supreme Court nominee over the next year or whatever it is, that that person gets a vote. And that's the precedent the Republicans are trying to establish, which to me is actually a strong part. If you ask the Americans, should Republicans be allowed to change the rules in the filibuster, most Americans say, no, you can't change rules like this. If you ask people, do judges deserve a vote, most Americans think that's a fair principle.
See, I disagree to some degree. Obviously, it's about the Supreme Court nomination, but I don't think you can dismiss the battles over control of these circuit court judgeships as just a prelude. There are some of these judges who are quite extreme. One judge who basically said the New Deal was socialist, another judge with very extreme views against regulations designed to protect the environment. So I think the Democrats really do care about what's going to happen on these circuit courts because they make so many decisions. But then, yes, in the end, we are going to face a Supreme Court fight, and these will be very important skirmishes before that big fight.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times.